What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Whatever News!
In today's episode, we've got some stories to talk about. In case you aren't subscribed, you definitely should do so. Subscribe down there, hit the bell to get all notifications. That way you'll always be notified and get the Forever News. I got all the scoop. Definitely subscribe, hit that bell, and enjoy. Okay, people, as always, if you want to listen to Forever News before it hits YouTube, definitely you can always listen in on podcast streaming services like Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, etc., etc. Now that we've got that out the way, I just wanted to start off this episode by saying thank you to you, everybody that watches Forever News and supports Forever News. It's been one hell of a year, to say the least, and we're almost through. So I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of words of encouragement to say that keep going, keep moving forward. Let's not stop. Let's wrap this bad boy up strong, because it's been tough the last couple years, actually, and we're still here, right? We still made it. We're still standing strong. Let's keep doing it, baby. But yeah, we got some spicy stuff. We got some One Piece. We got Attack on Titan. We got Demon Slayer. We got some season twos for different anime that were announced. We got a whole slew of stories. Without further ado, people, let's jump into another exciting episode of
Whatever News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you. We get into it. Let's do it.
No matter how you feel, get it done. No matter how you feel, get it done. No matter how you feel, get it done. No matter how you feel, get it done.
Okay, people, so first on the docket, Attack on Titan. It seems as though with the final season approaching, they want to make things very big and larger than life. No pun intended. Colossal, hey. Regarding big event that they're doing, let's read. It says, Attack on Titan final season set special event for the fall. The fourth and final season of Attack on Titan is set to land on the small screen early next year, finally bringing a close to the story of the Scout Regiment, as they now must deal with both the nation of Marley as well as a new force in Eren Yeager's Yeagerus. With the cliffhanger of the first half of the season 4 seeing Eren facing down a bloodthirsty Marleyan army that are looking for revenge following his attack on their homeland, it seems that the Dark anime franchise will be holding an event to celebrate the series. The event itself is set to take place in Japan on November 14th, titled Attack on Titan the Final Season Special Event, which will feature the voices of Eren Yeager, Mikasa, Armin, John, and Sasha making an appearance, with Yuki Kaji, Yui Ishikawa, Marina Inoue, Kisho Taniyama, and Yu Kobayashi respectively. While the event has yet to hint at what will be discussed, we could definitely imagine what will gain new insights into the upcoming season that will bring the anime story of Attack on Titan to a close and the end of the war between Marley and Paradis once and for all. Attack on Titan's official Twitter account shared the details of the upcoming event, which is sure to reveal new details about the final season of the Survey Corps, which will see some shockingly big moments along with plenty of casualties, as has been the case throughout the Dark series created by Hajime Isayama. The manga for Attack on Titan ended earlier this year, though we could imagine that there are plenty of fans that read the last chapters that will be anxious to see how the anime adaptation handles some of the terrifying moments. With the franchise having already released a new trailer for the final half of the last season, it seems that MAPPA is all in when it comes to bringing the story of Hajime Isayama to a close. While there have been no rumors or official comments with regards to a potential sequel or spin-off series to Attack on Titan, the director's cut of the manga's final chapter certainly leaves the door open for one. And I'll just keep it real, Attack on Titan final season, it seems as though they want to do a big celebration, which absolutely deserves it. You know, Attack on Titan really helped Kodansha, the publishing company, in a major way. One of the biggest they've had in years is not until very recently, with stuff like Tokyo Revengers and series like that, that they're actually starting to see some similar success to what Attack on Titan brought forth all those years ago, back in like 2013, when the first season popped off and sales were out of this world and stuff like that. So Attack on Titan, absolutely, regardless of how you feel about the ending, deserves a massive celebration. In terms of what they were talking about, which was more so the article regarding like a sequel or something, I have no doubt in my mind that there's going to be some sort of sequel spinoff. First of all, business part of it, we always got to look at it. I get it, we love the arts. I'm one of the biggest supporters of, you know, the art coming first, but at the end of the day, this is a business, and the way the Attack on Titan story ends kind of leaves some potential for a future down the road for the Attack on Titan story, but that, again, remains to be seen. Either way, yeah, it seems as though they're doing a big celebration, and I'm just really curious how they're going to adapt the finale, because while there were people that actually enjoyed the end of Attack on Titans manga. There were a lot of people that didn't like it. And again, it's going to be interesting to see how they adapt the finale of it, how they're going to adapt in general, because there's still quite a bit of content to fit into the last, you know, set of episodes. And either way, Attack on Titan, the finale is approaching. They're doing it big, and who knows, maybe with the finale, they're going to announce something else to come with Attack on Titan. I can only imagine. Like, again, this is a cash cow. This is a huge cash cow, and they've done spinoffs upon spinoffs. I don't think that they're going to just let it die after the big anime finishes wrapping up. I wouldn't be surprised if another manga's in the works. I don't know if Hajime Isayama, the original creator, is going to be a part of it, but we gotta wait and see. Either way, Attack on Titan, they're doing a big event, finale, final season. Okay, people, next up, small updates for Jujutsu Kaisen and Marshall, both very big series in Shonen Jump. It says Jujutsu Kaisen and Marshall will both be on break next week in weekly Shonen Jump issue number 48. The series will resume in issue number 49 as scheduled, which, wow, that's two big guns. Like, Marshall is starting to become a staple in Jump at this particular point. Like, the latest volume in its first week almost did 100,000 copies sold, and it doesn't have an anime, so just put that into perspective. That's really good. I think it did like, what, 20,000, maybe 30, less than Black Clover's latest volume. Like, Marshall is on the rise. So for Jujutsu Kaisen and Marshall to be on break, which Marshall rarely takes breaks, that's pretty big news. I mean, I get it with Jujutsu Kaisen because a lot of the big authors that are already established have been taking breaks, but it looks like maybe Marshall has made it to that point where they're allowing the author, like, okay, you know, we're giving all the other vets at this point, which is crazy to think that Jujutsu Kaisen is kind of somewhat of a veteran in this whole thing. I know it's crazy, but they probably like, okay, we're giving them some breaks. Yeah, you've been doing your thing, the series is starting to pop, here's a break here and there for you as well. Or it could be, hopefully not, that the author maybe is sick or something like that, but there's no mention of that, so hopefully it's just like, you deserve a break, here's a break. Not to mention in some of the author comments lately, the author of Marshall doesn't sound like he's the most hype about living the mangaka lifestyle. But yeah, they'll be on break 1 week. They deserve it. Do your thing, come back stronger. Then moving forward, we got the top 10 selling series of the week for manga. Coming in at number 10, Blue Period with 49,729. I'm imagining those sales are going to continue to go up because the anime is out now. Over here, I believe it's a Netflix exclusive, if I'm not mistaken, and it's making waves. I'm hearing people talking about it. I have yet to jump on it because there's just so many shows that I'm watching, and I'm trying to finish off watching the Seven Deadly Sins anime that they dropped the last batch of 12, last season, at the end of last season. So I'm swamped right now, but that's definitely on my radar of a series that I want to watch. Then coming in at number 9, Detective Conan with 71,000. Okay, not too bad. Cardcaptor Sakura, Clear Card. I didn't even know they were still making more Cardcaptor Sakura. That's freaking nuts. 78,000 for that. Blue Lock at number 7 with 96,000 this week. Blue Lock on the rise. Next big sports series. Wotakoi, Love is Hard for Otaku. I've never heard of this, and I've never even heard of this publisher. 176,000 copies sold, though, but Ichijinsha, what the hell is that? I gotta look into that. That sounds interesting, though. Number 5, Kimetsu no Yaiba, aka Demon Slayer, 177,962. A lot of that is off the strength of the new season of the anime, which, even though it's readapting the Mugen Train, people are still hype about it. It's still pushing volumes out there. Number 4, My Hero Academia, 193,000 this week. I know a lot of that is due to the latest volume that's pushing in a lot of sales, but that's got to be, I'm guessing, a few back sales as well. Number 3, My Happy Marriage by Square Enix, 230,000. It's interesting to see some of these series that I've never heard of, but they're making waves. Then the top 2 I've definitely heard of. Coming in at number 2, Jujutsu Kaisen, 253,000. And number 1, Tokyo Revengers, 306,000. Like, now, you know, we've been talking about it. If you've been following all these updates on the top selling series of the month and all that jazz and the week and stuff like that, now we're starting to see Tokyo Revengers, the hype, die down a bit, because it was doing double that, triple that in a week, and now it's starting to die down. I can only imagine within the next couple months it'll probably slowly fall off the top 10, which is to be expected, and nothing wrong with it, because Tokyo Revengers, it's one of the top 3 highest selling manga of the year in a massive landslide of sales. So by no means am I shading it or saying anything wrong with that. It had an incredible run, and probably whenever season 2 or movie or whatever they're gonna do next with it comes up, it'll probably boost again because it was dominating. But now that the anime's ended the first season, we're starting to finally see a little bit of, not the fall off, because I feel like that's the wrong words to use for it, but it's not doing as stellar as it once was, which, don't get me wrong, it's still number one. Like, what more could you ask for? And yeah, people, those were the top 10 selling series of the week for manga. Some interesting ones in there. Again, Square Enix and a publisher I've never even heard of. Dope stuff. Okay, people, next up, we got an update for Jujutsu Kaisen Zero's film. This time around, it's about one of the main characters. It says, Rika's character design for Jujutsu Kaisen movie Zero revealed. Hanazawa Khan will be voicing Rika. Then we got a little bit more insight here. It says, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero anime film cast Kana Hanazawa as Rika Orimoto. The official website for the Geki Joban Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, Jujutsu Kaisen Zero the movie, announced on Friday that Kana Hanazawa will voice the character Rika Orimoto. The character is key to the film's story and is the childhood friend of the main character Yuta Okotsu, voiced by Megumi Ogata. The two had promised to marry each other, but Rika passed away in a car accident and becomes a special grade vengeful cursed spirit. The character is seen below in her human and cursed spirit appearance. And of course, the film will open on December 24th. And I ain't gonna lie, the cursed spirit form looks sick as hell. And it's just kind of eerie because you see, like, oh, the adorable little girl, that's cute and all that. And then you just see this creepy looking freaking monster. I'm just dying for this film. And I hate it that the film opens up on the 24th of December and we won't see it, no matter how much I talk about this, until probably January the earliest, but I'm guessing probably February, even March, depending on how well it does over there in Japan, because there's going to be a buffer between over there and over here, especially with, you know, everything that's been going on in the world right now. I don't know when we'll see this film, but oh my god, I can't freaking wait. And I ain't gonna lie, they did a great job on the character design for Rika in her cursed spirit form. It looks grotesque. And yeah, people, that's the obligatory update on Jujutsu Kaisen Zero's film with Rika's character design moving forward. Okay, people, next up, we got more one-shots from Tatsuki Fujimoto, author of Chainsaw Man. It says Tatsuki Fujimoto's short stories 22 through 26 cover, and on the cover, if I'm not mistaken, that's Nayuta, which there was some one-shots that he had did back in the day with a character Nayuta. And then I want to even say that in the Chainsaw Man story, there's a character that I'm not going to get into spoilers by any means that is also resembling this character. And then now this is the cover, which it's so bizarre. Why are they making him? And it's 22 through 26. I'm only guessing that what it is that Tatsuki Fujimoto, like, he's a workaholic, and maybe he had all of these one-shots just sitting around that he drew for the hell of it. Like, he's been having fun. On top of that, maybe he has downtime. Maybe they're waiting for the Chainsaw Man anime to return, because remember, it's been confirmed that we're getting a Chainsaw Man 2 that's going to be published in Jump Plus. But instead of, you know, getting to that Chainsaw Man, we're getting more of these short stories that, don't get me wrong, like, Look Back was incredible. I loved the Look Back one shot, but I don't understand it, because then on top of that, we get that, you know, Tatsuki Fujimoto one shot. And then we get the announcement that Chainsaw Man creator Tatsuki Fujimoto is looking for a new assistant again for a new short story slash one shot. So not only are we getting this one shot, you know, short story book, but now he's working on more one shots, which means that we can't expect Chainsaw Man 2 till God knows when. Like, if he's right now focused on making more one shots, it's not only that he probably has all these one shots laying around, it's that he's just in the middle of, let me make more one shots. And I can only imagine that the reason they're doing this is, and not giving us Chainsaw Man 2 right away, is two reasons. Probably either one, Project of Passion. He's just passionate about this, but I'm, you know, seasoned enough to know that business comes before play when it comes to the giant corporations like Shueisha, and they probably understand the magnitude of what Chainsaw Man is. So they're probably waiting until, like, okay, it would be bigger and more successful if we get a big announcement that the Chainsaw Man anime is coming, let's just say, you know, April 15th or something like that. Boom, around April, you drop the Chainsaw Man 2 first chapter, and then it'll coincide and cross promote. Maybe that's the only reason I could think of why they would be postponing Chainsaw Man 2, because Tatsuki Fujimoto, incredible author. Again, Look Back one shot. I can't stress enough how much I love that one shot. But come on, fam, you one-shotting us to death at this point. Like, yo, where's that Chainsaw Man 2 at? And again, if it's about creativity with him, by all means, I am always for the creative. I am always for the artist. Let the artist art. You know what I'm saying? Let the artist paint. Let the artist create. But at the same time, it's like, I'm a big, big fan of that Chainsaw Man, okay? I'm a big, big fan of that Chainsaw Man, and I'm dying for Tatsuki Fujimoto to get back to work to it. But, you know, it's all in good fun of what I'm saying at the end of the day. I want it really bad, but if he needs to do these things for a creative reason, by all means, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're just waiting for the Chainsaw Man anime, which from what I understand, remember we got that very hyped trailer and it was like, oh my god, Chainsaw Man might look like this. From my understanding, that was like a one-off thing and the Chainsaw Man anime wasn't really knee-deep in production yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to be waiting quite some time for Chainsaw Man. Maybe MAPPA, you know how they're building these new buildings and they're trying to get all the animators to damn near live there around the clock, which is very wrong and inhumane. Maybe that's why we're getting the delay on Chainsaw Man's anime and Chainsaw Man 2, because they're waiting on MAPPA to produce it. In the meantime, Tatsuki Fujimoto's like, I got all these ideas, let's throw some one-shots out, why not? So, I'm not gonna complain on more work from Fujimoto, because I love his stuff. Just really want Chainsaw Man 2. And either way, these covers look dope, and 22 to 26 short stories, why not? Okay, people, next up, just a small update on Jump Giga, the winter edition. According to this, it says, Jump Giga Winter 2022 is scheduled to release on December 24th, 2021, commemorating the release of Jujutsu Kaisen Zero. So, they're putting a lot of manpower behind this. If they're making a whole magazine's issue that is released quarterly, dedicated straight up to the release of this Jujutsu Kaisen film, they want to make sure that this busts. Because, like, at the end of the day, if this film can do even half of, let's just say, what the Demon Slayer Mugen Train film did, then they're gonna be making a lot of money. And Demon Slayer, in case you missed it, just made, like, in the last couple years, like, $10 billion type of deal. Like, if they could do half of that with Jujutsu Kaisen, I'm sure they will be very, very happy and pleasant about it. So, yeah, they're gonna put Jump Giga Winter and all sorts of stuff. Expect when December comes, throughout the month, constant reminders about this film, new trailers, all sorts of stuff, because they wanna make sure that they put this on the map. The manga right now for Jujutsu Kaisen is on course to surpassing the sales for the year of Demon Slayer and becoming number one. I'm sure they will love for this film to follow suit of what Mugen Train did with Demon Slayer. Moving forward, just a small update on the Spy X Family manga. In case you don't know about Spy X Family, it's a pretty newer, I guess you would say, it's been out for a little bit now, but it's more so newer. It doesn't have an anime adaptation yet, but it sells very well for Jump Plus. And according to this, it says Spy X Family, which I believe is just called Spy Family, so I'm going to try and start referring to it as Spy Family. Spy Family has reached 12 million copies in circulation, and I want to say they have, what, like 7 or 8 volumes out at this particular point. So in 7 or 8 volumes for a Jump Plus, a digital magazine, 12 million copies in circulation. That is phenomenal, man. This series, when it gets an anime, the way it'd be selling, it'd be doing over half a mil, 600,000-700,000 first week. I can only imagine what it's gonna do once it gets, which it's gonna get a whole bunch of other stuff. It's gonna get an anime. I'm almost certain it's going to get a live action adaptation, probably a TV series. It's going to do the works because this is family friendly at the same time. And family friendly, that's when you're opening up to a whole other market, a whole other avenue. So you're gonna get a little bit of maybe the shonen fans, because there's a little, I guess, part of it that has action to it, but it also has a family element to it. And yeah, this is going to be humongous. Think like in the realm of not necessarily the same, but sort of like the vibe you would get from like a fandom of Your Name, for example. Again, it's very different from Your Name, but something like that. Like, it can go really mainstream beyond just anime and manga fans. So this is going to be humongous. Spy Family, and it's already humongous. 12 million copies for 8 volumes of a Jump Plus title. It is humongous already. It's going to get more huge. Okay, people, next up, some unfortunate news for fans of the Demon Slayer anime, with season 2 in particular. Y'all know that right now they're currently, I want to say, like, 2 or 3 episodes deep into season 2. It's readapting the Mugen Train film. However, there's going to be a delay due to some, I want to say, like, elections over there. According to this, it says, Demon Slayer season 2 release schedule delayed by Japanese election. Coverage of the upcoming Japanese elections will push back the release of further episodes in the Mugen Train arc by 1 week. The release of episode 4 of Demon Slayer's second season, so with 3 episodes deep, and all of the remaining episodes in the Mugen Train arc following it will be delayed due to coverage of the upcoming Japanese House of Representatives elections. The delay was announced on the official Japanese Demon Slayer Twitter account. Episode 3 of the new season will still air on October 24th. Okay, so actually we're about to get episode 3, but the following episode will now be delayed until November 7th in order to allow Japanese TV networks to cover the country's upcoming elections. Consequently, all further episodes in the Mugen Train arc will also have their release dates pushed back by a week as well. The delay will apparently not affect the release of the Entertainment District arc, which is still scheduled to begin on December 5th with a special hour-long episode. Both Funimation and Crunchyroll are simulcasting the new season to international audiences as episodes air in Japan. So that's going to be interesting if it's not going to affect the release of the Entertainment District arc. Are they going to drop like the final episode of Mugen Train and the first episode of the Entertainment District arc, or they just haven't updated that info yet about the Entertainment District arc? Because that's a lot, unless there was going to be a break in between anyways. Or maybe they had a break in between the end of Mugen Train and the Entertainment District arc, and now there's not going to be. I'm not really sure, but either way, seems as though there's going to be a delay for next week's episode. We won't get next week's episode next week. It'll be the following week, but we're still going to get the real beginning, in my opinion, of season 2 with the Entertainment District arc on December 5th, which, boy, I can't freaking wait. I ain't gonna lie, like, I've been a little hypocritical. I've been peeping a little bit, just a smidge, of the Demon Slayer season 2 anime with the Mugen Train. I've kind of been watching, I ain't gonna lie, but Entertainment District is where you're really gonna have me, and I'm really gonna be hyping. I think that's gonna revitalize a lot of things for Demon Slayer, because Demon Slayer, it's still massively popular, but I've noticed in certain areas is not popping off like it's been doing the last few years, but we're gonna get into it in another story. Either way, yes, Demon Slayer's next episode will be delayed. However, Entertainment District arc still hitting on December 5th, and it's gonna be hype. Moving forward, I saw this post that, and I'm not 100% sure if it's legit or not. I'm almost certain it is, but don't quote me in case not. But either way, it said One Piece creator Eiichiro Oda's editor Iwasaki says that he watched theory videos on YouTube and on TV shows about One Piece's ending, but none of them are close to the ending, which really is interesting, because that means that One Piece's ending is going to blow a lot of minds. It's going to blow a lot of minds, and nobody's going to see it coming, because if he went through and saw theory videos, because there was a couple of ones in particular that was circulating recently that went viral and all sorts of stuff about how One Piece is going to end, and if Oda's editor is saying, nah, y'all not even close, I don't know what mind-blowing, mind-boggling ending Oda has in mind, but I can only imagine. Like, if it's really to that point of he's watching theory videos, he's scouring the internet to see what they've come up with, and it's not even close to the ending of One Piece, then what the hell is he in store for? I mean, again, it could be that maybe there's certain deaths that are going to happen, that are not going to happen. Maybe that's in reference to the theories. It could be that regarding stuff that, like, feels like staples. Like, a lot of us feel like the ending of One Piece, more than likely, Luffy is going to die the same way Roger died. Maybe that's not going to happen at all. Maybe something totally different is going to happen. I don't freaking know, but that is very interesting, and that's good to know as well, because like a lot of us feel, I don't even want to say a lot of us, because to be honest with you, I like to keep a little element of unpredictability to how I feel like things are going to happen in One Piece, because Oda has shocked us time and time again. But a lot of the fandom of One Piece feels like they got it mapped out, like they know this is going to happen, this is going to happen. It's good to hear that at the very least the, you know, people around Oda are checking out to see like, well, did they hit the nail on the head? And seems to be, as far as the ending goes, that they haven't, if this is indeed true, which, again, I like hearing that. I like hearing that there's going to be an element of surprise and suspense to how One Piece is going to play out, because, yeah, I don't want to know how, especially this grand journey that started, you know, decades upon decades ago, to know how it's going to end. I feel like Luffy, to be honest with you, like, don't ever spoil me how One Piece ends. I want to enjoy it till the end. But either way, I thought that was interesting to note, because Oda's going to shock us all with the ending of One Piece, and whenever it happens, whether it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, however long it takes to get to that ending, I'm expecting greatness, Oda. Don't let us down. Don't let it be again. Don't let it be something that we've thought for a long time it's going to be. And I know they dispelled the theory of like, oh, it's the journey and the friendship. Like, he dispelled that already. That's good, but can't wait to see how One Piece ends. Either way, it doesn't look like we've hit the nail on the head. Good stuff there. Okay, people, next up, a small update on Orient from the creator of Magi, their latest work. It says all volumes of Orient by Shinobu Otaka are getting reprinted. Now, in case you don't know, reprinted means that there's going to be either already there's a demand or there's going to be a demand, because don't forget that in January, I want to say, the next season of anime, we're going to get the premiere of the Orient anime, again, from the creator of Magi. In case you don't know, I hold Magi the Labyrinth of Magic in very high regard in terms of quality and all that jazz, so I'm expecting big things, and that could also mean that they're expecting that this series is going to start selling very well, and that's why they're ordering reprints, because I want to say even taking steps moving forward, they've actually put Orient in a better position, because I want to say it was like in the weekly Shonen magazine, and it wasn't really getting that much traction. Like, honestly, it just wasn't popping. However, after Attack on Titan ended, they moved the series to Besatsu, and now it's kind of acting like, in my opinion, the head of that magazine. It's like the most popular manga in that magazine. So with that, they're probably like, okay, we got it in Besatsu, it's going to be the head of it. We got the anime coming out, and now they're doing reprints. That might mean that they have some good intel that Orient is about to do well, which I hope so, because first of all, I hope that it's really good. Even though I've been buying the volumes, I haven't been reading the damn thing. I've only read like the first couple chapters, and I liked what I read so far, but you know, a series could change after the first couple chapters, of course. So I'm interested to see where it goes with it, but either way, that's a good sign. If we're getting reprints now, they might at the very least have some idea that Orient is going to sell well. So we gotta wait and see. Either way, we know that the anime drops in January, and I'm looking forward to it. Shinobu Otaka has been so freaking long since Magi ended, and while Magi didn't have the greatest ending in the world, there's still like so many amazing moments to that story. The Alma Taran arc is arguably one of the most deep, complex, and thought-provoking arcs in all of manga, like period. Like, that arc right there had me questioning existence, questioning life, because it really goes deep into the meaning of life. Like, shit like that, when you're getting that from a shonen series, you gotta do some praise. You gotta give it some praise and props, and that's why I'm like, okay, whatever Orient is, I'm hoping it's to at the very least somewhat of the level of Magi, because Magi was indeed greatness. In fact, when I say greatness, that was the origin of it. Like, it was me reading Magi and saying, yo, it's that Magi greatness, and then boom, it caught on. Okay, people, next up, just a small update, or you could argue big, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are interested in this. Apparently, Kaguya-sama Love is War Season 3 will premiere April 2022. So April 2022 is going to be a big season, which it's a couple seasons away, but I guess they got to start announcing it now. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I've watched the first few episodes of Kaguya-sama Love and War, and I remember I used to talk about it on my old Fnet World podcast, that it's kind of almost like Death Note, but like in a comedic romance way, where the two characters are trying to, you know, beat each other down, so to speak, in a mental battle of getting the other one to admit they like one another. So very interesting story, and I'm wondering if this is going to be the finale, because I want to say the Kaguya-sama Love is War manga recently wrapped up. So is this season 3 going to adapt the entirety of the finale, or is it going to take a season 4? I don't know how that's going to go, but this gets me interested as well. Like, if they're making more, maybe I should go back and continue watching the anime, because I enjoyed what I saw. Like I said, I compared it to love comedy romance Death Note style, which is a bizarre thing to say, but that's kind of how it checks out. And not with like murder or stuff like that, just the mental battle that Light and L had, these two are having, the class rep and Kaguya herself. Kaguya? Oh god, it's been a couple years now. But yeah, Kaguya-sama Love is War, Season 3, April 2022. Let's go if we're going. Okay, people, next up, this one caught my interest, and I've seen back and forth on how well this actually is, but it's what I was referring to in the earlier Demon Slayer story regarding the Demon Slayer Hinokami Chronicles games first week sales. Now, according to this, it says Demon Slayer Hinokami Chronicles sold 115,000 copies first week in Japan. And I've seen some people saying that, in particular for Cyber Connect 2, and if you compare that to like Naruto Storm games back in the days, that they used to sell like 4 times, 5 times that amount, and that actually Demon Slayer wasn't the number one selling game for that week either. And it takes me to my experience with it. Like, I'll be honest with you, now that it's been, what, it's been about a week or so, maybe more, since the Demon Slayer game came out, the first week, I ain't gonna lie, I've been having a blast with it so far. But I can definitely admit that it feels stripped down, it feels bare bones, it feels like this game could have been 4 times the length. And because, again, what they've been doing with a lot of things when it comes to Demon Slayer, they want to milk it, and that's probably why it feels a little empty. Like, the best thing about the Demon Slayer game is after you finish through the story mode, which if you actually play through it for the most part, in about 8 hours you could finish it, which is very, very short for a $60-$70 game. So that's short, but the online mode is really the best part of it. Like, I have a blast playing online against people, but ultimately 115,000 copies, I think that's good, especially for the first installment, the first console game of Demon Slayer period. That's actually good there, but in terms of it, you compare it to like Naruto Storm back in the day, it didn't sell as good as those games, and it got outsold by some other games. So it's like, I don't know, I feel like it's all right, but I guess maybe especially considering Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba is a juggernaut in every area, you know, biggest selling manga of last year, broke One Piece's records, highest selling movie of all time from Japan, all of that jazz. So when you get one thing that doesn't sell well, a lot of people are looking at it under a microscope of, and let me correct myself, not not didn't sell well, but didn't sell to the standards of what people have for it. People are looking like, is Demon Slayer falling? Even if Demon Slayer fell off tomorrow, do you understand that it made more than majority of the biggest series of all time? Like, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it already won times a billion. Shueisha won. They're laughing straight to the bank. They are at the bank right now having a fucking tickle fest. It doesn't matter no more. They won. So even if this game sold lackluster, arguably, because again, 115,000 copies for the first installment, the first game on consoles, I think that's a pretty big success. Not to mention that they're going to support this game with DLC for years upon years to come. Probably every time there's a season of the anime wrapping up, they're going to boom. Oh, here's some DLC for you guys. Here's the Entertainment Arc DLC. Here's Season 3 DLC, etc., etc. So you can expect in the future for this game to continue living on. Either that, or they're going to do Hinokami Chronicles 2, 3, 4, etc., etc. But it feels like nowadays, with like Namco Bandai and all of these companies, obviously this is CyberConnect 2, different publisher, but it feels like they're less inclined to release Part 2s and 3s and stuff like that, and they're more so going to go the DLC route. So I'm not expecting a Hinokami Chronicles 2, 3, 4 or anything like that. I'm just expecting DLC for years to come, similar to Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 or Naruto Shinobi Strikers. Like, that's what I'm expecting, but maybe I might be wrong. Maybe they might see a bigger bag with just releasing Part 2 with, you know, the next installment, the next season or something like that. Although I guess I don't know how that would even work, considering the Entertainment District arc is going to be the next chronological story after where the game leaves off and where the anime left off, and that's only 11 episodes, and that honestly fits for like a DLC pack. That doesn't fit for a whole new game just for the Entertainment District, unless they're going to wait until like after Season 3 even airs and do Entertainment District along with Season 3. I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a DLC supported game. And again, 115,000 copies, nothing to sneeze at by any means. Maybe you expected it to do a million first week because it's Demon Slayer, but I think that's all right. First game, why not? Hopefully they do it better. Hopefully they add more, because it does feel a bit bare bones for a console game, let alone like Demon Slayer's manga's been wrapped up. There was times where the Naruto Storm games would adapt stuff before the anime even. The Storm 4 adapted the finale of Naruto before the actual anime did, probably a year or two before at that. So they could have done more. They're milking it, lads. They're milking it. Okay, people, moving forward, we got the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Starting this bad boy off, we got the author of Fire Force, Atsushi Okubo. To continue from before, I started Hollow Knight, and I'm amazed with how much quality and content comes in the game for a mere 1,500 yen. Fans of action RPGs shouldn't miss this. Kind of hilarious. We were just talking about content, how much content comes in a game and quality and all that jazz, and then we here got Atsushi Okubo talking about Hollow Knight. So yeah, if you're a fan of RPGs, his recommendation, Hollow Knight, check it out. Then we got Hiro Mashima, creator of Fairy Tail / Eden Zero. He said, I've started watching Squid Game. I had been merely interested before, but now I'm hooked. Welcome to the club, fam. We all freaking watch that crap. I haven't seen one person say, oh, I was disappointed by Squid Game. Like, I've seen some people say, like, maybe, oh, it didn't necessarily live up to the hype, but I haven't seen anybody say, like, yo, it's garbage, it's, like, disappointing or anything like that, because, I don't know, for me, and I've watched a lot of amazing stories in my time from live action, anime, reading manga, all sorts of stuff, but Squid Game was the truth, and it deserves a lot of the praise it's getting, like, for a Korean live action that I haven't seen too many Korean live actions, but I will say that they did a phenomenal job from the acting, the storytelling, the plot twist. It was a great freaking series. So I got to give praise to it. And shout outs to Hiro Mashima again. Welcome to the club. Then we got Ken Wakui, author of Tokyo Revengers. This year's King of Konte was pretty good. I was cheering for Majirab, but Kuki Kaidan deserves props too. I'm not sure. Is he referring to like a TV series or something? I'm unfamiliar. That's a little bit into the Japanese culture that I'm not quite familiar with. So yeah. Then we got George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo. I enjoyed Pumpkin and Space. I want to do it again. What the hell is that? It sounds like some sort of ride, or I don't know, maybe it's like a drink. I have no idea. Then we got Nakaba Suzuki, author of Seven Deadly Sins and now Four Nights of the Apocalypse. For the first time since the serialization began, I had a drink and meat. I've been waiting for this. Oh my god, are we catching him in a lie? Hold on. For the first time since the serial began, which I'm imagining he's referring to the serialization of Four Nights of the Apocalypse, I had a drink and meat. I've been waiting for this. maybe, okay, a drink and a meeting, like a meetup or a meeting of some sort. Because, yeah, he's talked about drinking a lot. We spoke about him talking about drinking a lot. So I don't know if he's been caught in a lie there, or he just means it's the first time he's had a drink and a meeting at the same time since he started Four Nights of the Apocalypse. And I'm still trudging through the Seven Deadly Sins final season because I'm actually really interested in the Four Nights of the Apocalypse. I think I'm going to jump straight into it once I finish the Seven Deadly Sins anime and the final film. But yeah, people, those were the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. I've noticed that they've added a few new series up in here that I didn't see all these times. Like there's a Cooler Ga Inai no Den and then Kanmi Shark. Those are two series that I'm just now seeing in the magazine for the first time. And I want to say that they did announce that they were adding like four or five new manga to Weekly Shonen Magazine. And I think those are a part of it. But yeah, people, Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments. Always a pleasure. Always a joy. Okay, people, next up, kind of unfortunate update for Detective Conan, aka Case Closed. It says Detective Conan by Gosho Aoyama will be on break for a month after next week's chapter. However, it will resume in Weekly Shonen Sunday issue number 1, out December 1st, 2021. In this new issue, new info regarding upcoming Detective Conan movie 25 will be revealed as well. So if you're a fan of the Detective Conan manga and you follow it, it's going on a month break, which I'm imagining maybe it's for research, also to give the man a break. I mean, for crying out loud, he's been writing this manga for, what, 30 years or something? Since like the early to mid 90s. He needs a month break, absolutely. And at the same time, he's going to come back in the movie and all that jazz. And, you know, the anime does very well over there. So give him his break. That's totally fine. And either way, a month break is good. I feel like he deserves it. You've been writing for so damn long. But yeah, Detective Conan, it'll return December 1st, 2021. Just in time for the first issue, which I'd imagine, yeah, they'd probably want to start off the fiscal year of the magazine with their big hitter, because Conan is like one of the biggest manga in that magazine, Shonen Sunday. I really got to catch up on the Detective Conan movies, man. I'm so freaking far behind, but y'all know the releases over here for Conan has been ridiculously horrible. Like, I think right now Discotech Media is slowly releasing some of the films and OVAs and stuff like that, and I've been terrible about keeping up with those as well, but I love Conan either way. Okay, people, next up, a very odd, strange story about a man that was arrested for $18 of Tokyo Revengers. That's right, people. let's read, because it's a kind of ridiculous story. Man arrested for allegedly stealing four copies of Tokyo Revengers manga worth $18. A 48-year-old man. Oh my god. Why is a 50-year-old man robbing manga? Like, what? A 48-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of stealing four volumes of the Tokyo Revengers manga, a popular manga about hoodlum high school kids, illustrated and written by Ken Wakui. Shoutouts to Ken Wakui. The award-winning Tokyo Revengers is serialized in Kodansha's Weekly Shonen Magazine. Full disclosure, my first two books were published by Kodansha. It follows the exploits of the Tokyo Manji gang and has been adapted into an anime and a live-action film. According to Yahoo News Japan and Fuji TV Network, the suspect was filmed allegedly stealing the manga by a closed-circuit camera and a Sapporo bookseller on October 19th when he returned to the shop. Staff alerted the police, who arrived on the scene and apprehended the suspect. I used the money to supplement my living expenses. Up to now, I've reportedly stolen manga. The Japanese press is reporting that the man is unemployed. On 5CH, a popular Japanese bulletin board, many commenters thought this alleged crime was rather sad, with some wondering why he returned to the shop and what was going to happen to the suspect. It's like he's already a member of the Tokyo Manji gang. Oh god, no. The value of the four volumes is 2046 yen, which is around $18, with each copy costing around 500 yen or fewer than $5. The Tokyo Revengers manga is incredibly popular in Japan, and there are over 40 million copies in circulation. Due to its popularity, Tokyo Revengers seems like an easy manga to resell, possibly flipping it through online sites. Authorities in Sapporo are now investigating whether any further manga were stolen. And I'll be honest with you, stealing is absolutely unacceptable. Like, definitely he should be punished, but I'd say lightly, because like what they're saying on that message board, that is sad. Like, you stole four books for less than $20 and now you're gonna get in a heap of trouble. You're gonna be shamed all throughout Japan, like, oh, look at this 48-year-old man. If you're a 48-year-old man and you're stealing four books, either you gotta be a petty thief, you have some mental issues, something is wrong with you to go and steal four. Like, I wouldn't in my life, unless, I don't know, man. It gotta be that I got my kid is going through it or something, like starving at home, I gotta pay bills. Something insane where, like, yo, people are depending on me, and then, okay, I gotta do what I gotta do. But even then, I'm not gonna go steal some fucking books to go resell. Like, I'm gonna go get a job, I'm gonna go do something, you know what I'm saying? Do what I need to do. So, I don't even know. That's just crazy. Stealing books to do I don't know what, a 48-year-old man. That's kind of wild. I don't like to judge, because at the end of the day, I don't know what his circumstances is. But if it's just that he just wanted them to flip to make some money and say fuck it, like he didn't need to do it, he just did it because he wanted to do it, then you just kind of ruined your life for $18. Congrats. Because y'all know, in case you don't, in Japan, stuff like that, like over here, yeah, it's already bad. When you get a criminal record, you're kind of screwed in a lot of avenues. Over there in Japan, you're completely destroyed. I don't know what you could do with your future if he gets, which he more than likely is, going to be completely found guilty and all that jazz. Over there, they don't play. There's a 99.9% conviction rate over there. So if you ever get arrested over there, you can expect that you are guilty, no matter even if you are or you aren't. And I also noticed that a lot of people over there, they immediately confess, which it reminds me of Detective Conan a lot, of how they usually confess at the end. Say, oh, yes, I did it. Which over here, you know, can I speak to my lawyer? Can I speak to my lawyer? Like, that's what happens over here. Either way, if I get any updates on this, I will follow up with you guys, because it's just crazy. Like, a 48-year-old man stealing four books and he's going through a living hell, I'm imagining, following this. Tokyo Revengers is good. It ain't that good. Okay, people, next up is a segment that I hope to do a few more of these. I ain't gonna lie. We did one on the 7 Deadly Sins. Shoutouts to Jose_K. He's one of the people that he usually provides the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments and a whole bunch of stuff. Well, now he provided a sales chart for Blue Exorcist, aka I'll Know Exorcist, the manga sales, and it's fascinating to look at. And also probably why the author went on break recently is due to sales. Now, taking a look at it, up until volume 6 or 7, or up until volume 6, it was kind of like slow incline. It was doing alright. After volume 6, the anime started, and you see it goes from not even reaching the 200,000 line to, after the anime, over 700,000 for several volumes. But then, if you notice, shortly after volume 10, which I'm imagining that was probably where the anime had wrapped up, it kept on going down, down. It's been a complete decline ever since that volume, ever since probably season 1 of the anime wrapped up. I think a lot of it has to do with the way the anime ended. It made it feel like it was a closed story, because, in case you don't know, season 1 of the anime had an anime only ending from like halfway through on, and then season 2 just retcons the second half of season 1 of Blue Exorcist. It's crazy what they did. We probably will never get a season 3 of Blue Exorcist, just being honest, because I want to say he said around volume 18 is when season 2 came out, and you would think, okay, season 2, it got to boost the manga again, right? But no, it didn't do anything at all to increase manga sales. It just continued in a decline, and as of volume 17, it's almost gone back to where we were prior to season 1 of the anime, which, again, I'm imagining that's probably why the author said, screw it, I don't care, I'm gonna take a year off and do something else, because it's sad, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have that massive blow up, and then to see that it's continued to decline with every volume, no matter what the author has done, it's a shame, because I really like Blue Exorcist, I'm not even gonna lie. It has so many cool characters, so many dope things, and to see that it went from blowing up over 700,000 to slowly declining, and even season 2 of the anime didn't do it any justice, you definitely are seeing right here, folks, the rise and fall of Blue Exorcist. And I wouldn't be surprised if, after the author returns, if volume sales don't pick up, they're probably going to end the manga maybe 2 or 3 volumes after that, because these sales, they're not good. It's really bad at this point that it returned to before season 1 even began. But then again, I guess that's also a byproduct of making the series go on forever. Like, season 1 of the anime, I want to say, came out 2011. We're 10 years removed from season 1 at this point. And, you know, they tried with season 2, but the damage, I think, was done as well with the ending of season 1. I got to keep on throwing that in there and stressing that. The end of the season 1 anime, you know, the anime only stuff turned a lot of people off, and they probably felt like, well, why am I going to read anymore? You know, this was the ending. So it's interesting. But Blue Exorcist, I wouldn't be surprised if whenever it returns, it won't be that much longer, because sales are very, very low, and it's been on a steady decline ever since the end of season 1's anime. And I guess also one of the things I remember hearing back then was the fact that the Blue Exorcist manga should have waited longer before they released an anime. I think that was why they also had to do that filler and all that jazz, because there wasn't enough content really to give a straightaway boom banging type of season, and that's why we had that filler, you know, second half of season one, the rise and fall of Blue Exorcist. Sad to see because I really love this manga. Okay, people, next up, we got the top 50 best-selling manga volumes of the week. Now, I want to start this off by saying that from my understanding, there's actually like a very big shortage of books. So when you see, and I don't know if this is going to continue, but this has kind of been a thing, a pattern here and there of book shortages. If you see series selling less than you would expect, it's not because people aren't into it, people don't want it, it's that there's a lot of book shortages everywhere because of the pandemic and everything that's been going on. There has been book shortages all over the place, not only in Japan, over here in America. It's still ridiculous to get some manga volumes over here. It just is. Now, with that being said, let's start off with 50 through 41. 50 and 49 are Tokyo Revenger volumes, doing 12,000 this week. One Piece volume 100 still hanging in the top 50 at 48 with another 12.9, bringing it to almost 1.8 million. We got another Tokyo Revenger volume 10 at number 47 with 13,000. Then Tatsuki Fujimoto's short story collection 17 through 21 with another 13,000, which, yeah, these sales look somewhat low, to be honest with you, and that makes sense if we're having a shortage, with 13,000 this week, bringing it to 75,000. Then we got, let's see what else, and Kaiju number 8 volume 4 closing off the 50 to 41 with another 14,000, bringing it to 704,000 copies total, which I definitely would say that there's a shortage. These sales look ridiculously low in comparison to what they normally look. Because then we jump to 40 through 31, Shumatsu no Valkyrie, aka Record of Ragnarok, volume 12 with 15,000, bringing it to 288. Bakido in 11 days, another 15,000 this time around with 32 total. Baki's about to do numbers, I'm imagining, because they got a new season of the anime out on Netflix. I believe it's about to come out, or it came out, something around there. Then we got Don to Don Volume 2 in its second week with 16,000. Yeah, these sales are very low in comparison. We would already be talking at least 20, 30,000 right here. We're doing 16. Yeah, 102,000, but it's crazy. These series will be doing way better. We got Owari no Seraph, aka Seraph of the End, volume 25, closing out at 31 with 17,000, bringing its total to 85,000. There was a Cardcaptor Sakura manga. It's crazy, the Cardcaptors in this day and age. Cardcaptors, a mystic adventure. Cardcaptors, a quest for all time. Hey, yo, don't front on me. Y'all know I got pipes for days, baby. Then 30 through 21. Okay, we got Toilet Bound Hanako-kun with 20,000 this week at number 26, bringing its total to 190. Then we got Marshall Volume 8, 21,000 this week. Yeah, that's crazy. You go from 90 something thousand to 21,000, and it should have did like 40 something thousand, in my opinion. Like, there's definitely a shortage, no doubt in my mind, bringing his total to 114, which that's good, but it's weird, really weird. Black Clover coming in at number 22 with 23,000 this week, bringing its total to 137,000. Then we got 20 through 11. A lot of unknown series that I'm not too familiar with, to be honest with you. Well, there's Tokyo Revengers Volume 24 with another 27,000, bringing his total to 893. Oh my god, yeah, we're talking 27,000 sales at number 16. Whoa, the shortage is real, people. I know I keep on referencing it, but I'm in shock right now. Like, holy cow. Then the top 10 at number 10, Fire Force Volume 31 in 3 days, 40,000. That's not too bad. I'll give it that. That doesn't seem too bad. Blue Lock in 3 days, 48,000. Blue Lock? Doesn't Blue Lock sell more? Detective Conan Volume 100. Oh my god, yeah. That looks wrong. That looks so wrong. Volume 100. Debut at number 6 was 67,800. I mean, shout outs to Detective Conan Volume 100. Huge milestone. Very successful, but what's going on here? My Hero Academia Volume 32 in its second week, 86.9, almost 87,000, bringing its total to over half a mil, which is great, 540,000. And the fact that it's still surviving in the top 5, that's really awesome. And then a couple of series that I'm unfamiliar with, like Wotaku ni Koi wa Muzukashi Volume 11 and Watashi no Shiwase na Kekkon 3. They look like the same series, but apparently they're not. They got different names, but both of them doing some numbers. Again, I want to say these are from different publishers than we're used to. Okay, we referenced this in the top selling series, Ichijinsha editorial, and then the other one is Square Enix. And then, of course, coming in at number one, and as clear as day, something is off about these sales, Jujutsu Kaisen Volume 17 in its second week, 188,000. Nah, it should have did like 300 plus in its second week, which I'm wondering how the publishers feel. I'm sure they're not too happy about this publishing shortage that is going on right now because it's affecting them. Like, you know, you only get one shot at being out for the first week, the second week and stuff like that. And it's definitely affecting their bottom line. So I'm sure they're probably on the asses of these companies like, make more of these books. You're screwing us over right now. Especially if you consider compared to last week, these are very low numbers in comparison to what last week we just saw with all these volumes. I mean, shout outs to everybody that did their thing, but Detective Conan volume 100 should not be doing 60 something thousand first week. That should have been 100 or at the very least like 80, 90 something there. Like, I don't know, like craziness, but keep that in mind. And I did reference it a billion times. Those were publication shortages and they still did aight. So shout outs to all those series. Top 50 best-selling manga volumes of the week. Okay, people, and I wanted to close this episode off with some great news for Nagatoro fans. Yes, Nagatoro fans. We got a second season confirmed. It says here, "Don't toy with me, Miss Nagatoro anime gets second season. The evening session of a special event for the anime, Nanashi's Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro-san manga announced on Saturday that production on a second season has been greenlit. Character designer Misaki Suzuki drew a visual to celebrate the news, and it got Senpai and Nagatoro together. Oh, I love to see it. I ain't gonna lie, I'm so freaking hype. I really enjoyed season one. It was a fun Saturday, every Saturday, to get a Nagatoro episode. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, we got more seasons of Nagatoro incoming. Can't freaking wait. And yeah, people, those are all the stories we have for today's episode. I'm curious what you guys think. The most important story, the story that stuck out to you the most, was it, you know, Attack on Titan, in big celebration, Demon Slayer, all that jazz, and what you normally return to for Never News for. Those aren't any of the stories we covered in today's episode, but that's all I have for this one. Thanks for watching. Hope you enjoyed. If you liked anything I had to say or enjoyed the video, drop me a like. I'd greatly appreciate it. And if you want more from me, make sure to subscribe, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, hit that bell to get all notifications. And if you want to follow any of my other social media, links are in the description below. I'm Feneb World, and as always, people, have an awesome day.
And remember the golden rule:
anime and manga
for life, boy.
Have an awesome day. Peace in, and you guys just watched another episode of
Forever News.
Have an awesome day. Just go to find me.